The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
To look away, and I don't know what I should say.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen only mode.
Then you come around just when things are looking down, and everybody's wearing frowns. The king went and misplaced his crown, but it'll come around. Coming through, and I know it will. Just when life seems like a lost cause, people spinning words into angry flaws.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 31st day of October, 2011. The Dow's down 148 points. S&P is down 17. Comp is down 28. And good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
It's a great day not to work for MF Global, eh?
Yeah, it's a good day to not be associated with them in any way, actually.
Yeah, our hearts go out to all the traders and, you know, just workaday employees who go and, you know, gave their very best and... You know, sometimes this happens, and so I'm sure you've all read the news. They're shut down. Their stocks even halted. Not only if you're a trader, can't you trade in your futures account? And that's not just MF Global, not necessarily your broker. They're a clearinghouse. I mean, one of my old accounts with cobwebs on it at Transact, I got an email from them this morning that says, "Oh, by the way, you can't trade in your account today." Yeah, well, there's $40 in there, so there's probably no danger of that, even if MF Global hadn't gone down. So, anybody that has been a trader for any length of time, you have some of that same digital debris littering the internet. A little account blew up over here, and you figured out, oh man, I'll just go to a new broker, and everything will change. And so you left a little digital debris over there, and someday I'll go back and collect the pocket change out of each one of those accounts. And I'll retire. No, there's not that many. There's only two, I think. There's only two I can remember anyway. So, but you all know what I'm talking about. You've all got that $40 account out there somewhere, and you've been telling yourself, man, I need to like email them and tell them, just send me my $40. Quit sending me that report every night that tells me I still got $40. because it's not gaining any interest. So now let's see. To any of you listening via radio, and you are not able to get in, you're not able to get registered for the Big Shot Fancy Pants version, where you actually come into the room and look at the charts and ask questions and participate in the discussion. That's because I, trying to be the industrious little beaver, went out Friday afternoon. I said, I'm going to be on top of things. I'm ahead of the curve. I'm going to get the link ready early so that people can get registered. And so I did. I did all the busy work Friday afternoon to get everything ready for Monday morning. And felt, I don't know, a little proud of myself. Pride goeth before a fall. Yeah. I did all the I dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. Except the one critical part where you actually take that link you've created and then you go and put it on the broadcast link page so that all the work you just did is now justified by people's ability to click on that link and actually get registered for this week's session of radio programs. So thanks to the listener who alerted me this morning that the link was not working, because I got it fixed. So any of you who tried to do the right thing yourself and, like, maybe go ahead and get registered last Friday night or, you know, over the weekend, and the thing popped up and said, oh, this webinar is no good, it's expired. Yeah, my apologies, my bad. If you go back and do it again now, it will embrace you warmly and let you get registered. And a reminder, you don't have to go through. Some people, they see that page and they're like, oh, man, I'm not going to do this every day. Good news, you don't have to do it every day. You only have to do it once every 7 days. And then each day of the week, you get an email that says, hey, by the way, just a reminder, radio show starts in a half hour. Click here. And see, it's really pretty simple when the guy behind the controls, the man behind the curtain, does everything that he's supposed to do. Not 99% of it, but all of it, then it works pretty good. And so, my apologies for those of you who weren't able to get registered early, but you can go out there now. If you're stuck in radio land, click the link and join the party. Speaking of 99%, that's an interesting figure. Michael, did you know this? Experts agree that traders who are not CFRN partners are 99% less likely to improve their trading with our indicators and methodology.
I would say that's extremely accurate. Extremely accurate. I would say it might even be a little more than 99%.
You know, the experts rarely get it right, but I think this time they did.
I agree.
All right.
I totally agree.
Guys, I don't know if you were following us on the Twitter last night, but we were, on fire. Okay, I'm just fooling around. No, we did have a good night. I did post the results. I'll let Michael go through the recap, and I'll touch on a couple of them. Now,
all right.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Our Twitter record's pretty good. I don't tweet every night. I tweet when it looks right. I'll tweet it out. Okay. Sometimes we have small gains, sometimes we have big gains, sometimes we get stopped out. I mean, that's the truth about trading. So that's one thing about Twitter, it's a matter of public record, okay? The time you posted it, when you posted it, all of that, it's there. And anyone who follows our Twitter feed knows that when we have a stopped out trade or a trade that goes awry, I don't go back and remove it, I just leave it there. Because that's the truth about trading. And I would not want you to think that there is any methodology out there that is seamless and allows you to just put on profitable trades one after the other with no drawdowns and no stops and none of that, because that's not the truth, okay? The truth is, it's a job. There's a learning curve. Takes work. And here's the big one. Not everybody's cut out for it. That's the one nobody wants to hear. Oh, work hard? No problem. I'll work hard. Study a lot? I'll do it. Screen time? No problem. But the not everybody's cut out for it part, that's a tough one to swallow. Mike Reed threw that at me in the early days. He said, maybe you're not cut out for this. I said, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
The nerve of that man.
I've invited you onto my radio program, and you say, he goes, well, hey, look, everybody loves baseball, but not everybody can be a professional baseball player. Oh, man, that stung. But it also made me very determined. And so here I am, a couple years, 5 or 6 later, still talking about this futures business. So I'll let you talk about it, Michael. I'll give you the mic. I'll give you the screens, and because we need to have you do this before your power goes out or something.
And that's always a concern.
Did the storm pass? Are you okay?
Yeah. The storm's gone. I was just outside shoveling the sidewalk in a t-shirt just a few minutes ago because, you know, all the trick-or-treaters that are due to come around tonight, I don't want them to have to wander through the snow.
Ladies, tickets for the gun show will be available. No. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Bam! Oh, it's crazy. Crazy New England weather. Just doesn't make sense sometimes. But, All right, I am just about ready here. Okay, do you have anything else you wanna say, Dwayne, before I get started?
Were you kidding?
Okay. All right. Let me get started first, then.
All right,
here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Oops, it didn't work. 3, 2, 1. There we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, October 31st, 2011. Happy Halloween. We'll go over the trades that we took this morning in the live trading room. Before I get too far into it, let me just say we are break-even on the morning. We have 0 ticks ES, and we didn't take any trades on the YM. But I'll go over the trades that set up and the trades that we took. A couple of minutes and the trade that we missed. All right, so here we were this morning at the beginning of the day. The market opened up down. We were looking, in this particular instance, we were looking for a lower swing so we could take one of the George trade here. Now, for those of you who are partners who are not too familiar with the rules, I'll just go over them quickly. What you want to have is a lower swing, you know, lower than the prior swing. A break of the elbow. The first pullback to the BBC at the break of the elbow is the actual trade. So this one actually wasn't even a trade. So let me take that off of there. I didn't take that one anyway. But the first pullback to the BBC after the break of the elbow, when price moves 3 ticks beyond the elbow extension, the first pullback is where you would take the trade. Okay, as long as it had a smooth pullback and the swing was lower than the prior swing. This one here did not have a smooth pullback. It had a little hole right there, and on the other side too, right there. So that was not a valid trade. This one was not a valid trade because it was not the first pullback. All right, the George trade is only the first pullback. But we did have one of our regular CFRN trades that followed that up. Similar rules, except we needed to have a bubble down here. All right, we need to have a bubble, and a bubble is when the red lines get outside the black lines. To qualify the trade, we needed to have a lower swing and a smooth pullback to the BBC. And we had all that. So we shorted here. And we were short there. I think we were short there at 63. And when price got down here to 62, I moved the stop down to break even. All right. It came back. It got to 62 here. I moved the stop to break even. It came back and took us out of break even right here. Continued going sideways for a while. Price had been stuck in a 4-point range for over an hour this morning. And as it moved along, we were out of the trade right here. We had no gains at this point. All right. Then here we had price move 3 ticks beyond the elbow extension. this was the first pullback to the BBC, and this was a higher swing than the prior swing. So we took this trade right here. We went long right here, and we actually messed up the entry by one tick. We got long a tick out of our favor. It still gave us two full points, and we went up here and we got two full points out of the trade. So at this point in the morning, it was quarter after 10, and we were plus eight ticks on the ES. As we watched the market move along here, it went sideways, just totally sideways. We didn't have any other trades in here. We were looking here for a possible CFRN trade, a possible four-tick range trade when it pulled back down. But right here, where I'm pointing with the mouse right now, with the cursor right in there, that's what stopped us from taking this trade. And that was it in that direction. Then price moved back down. It moved back up. And you see right here, we put in a higher swing, and this was the first pullback down. Because the BBC was still inside the box, this was not a regular CFRN trade. This was a George trade. We took the trade, and we lost the eight ticks that we had just gained on it right here. Okay. BBC stayed inside the box, just continued to go sideways. Price stayed inside the range and continued to go sideways. We didn't have any more trade setups in here. As you can see, price is not getting outside the box. We're not getting any higher swings. And you can see the time down at the bottom here. It's now 11:10. So as we moved out right over here, you see we started to get a new bubble here. We got below the box, and we got a new bubble right here. This area right here stopped us from taking this trade as a CFRN trade. All right. So now, and as a George trade, there was no trade here. Okay. And this is pretty much where we stopped on the morning trading. Right in here. All right. We needed a fresh bubble to take this trade for the CFRN, and it was not the first pullback for the George, so there was no trade in here on the four tick range. And that was it. So we ended up the morning break even on the four tick range. All right. As price continued on in here, you see right in here there was a gap, so there was no George trade. And right over here there may be one going on right now. All right. Right in here. I'll even try to put this on live here. 63.25 limit. Okay, now let me just make sure that that I don't have an MIT order on. I don't. Okay, so it's 63.25. Oop, something just happened. And I disconnected, and I'm going to be reconnecting here. Anyway, that was all that I had on the ES for the morning session. Okay, that was all that I had on the ES for the morning session. over here on the YM, my charts are actually reconnecting right now, so I didn't have any trades on the YM. Nothing set up this morning on the YM, so there's really nothing to say about the YM at this point. All right, I'm gonna stop the recording right now because I am reconnecting at the moment, and hopefully I will get reconnected here before the market moves back to my entry position. So that's it. That was it on the morning. All right, guys, we had break even on the ES after three trades and no trades at all on the YM. Why, thank you. Thank you, Dwayne.
You're welcome.
And studio audience. do you want to grab the charts back while this thing reconnects?
I can do that.
All right. And I will save this one.
Okay. See what we got here. Ta-da. All right. We'll go to Mr. David Williams at pagetrader.com here in about 9 minutes, so hold on to your horses. We don't like to spook him by showing up early, and we usually aggravate him by showing up late, so I'm going to do my very best to be on time today.
He's sensitive that way.
Yes. this is an hourly chart in front of you, and so you can see that it's kind of been a downhill slide. Now, the best way to probably recap this really quick, there's a blog post out there that says why you might want to follow us on Twitter, and I think there was an email that went out, and And, of course, there's a Twitter post that says why you should follow us on Twitter. Now, you know, for a while I quit trying to be humorous online because it doesn't always convey properly, because people can't see you laughing and they think you're serious. And when I say that you should follow us on Twitter, I mean, I am being serious, but I'm saying it in a lighthearted manner. And I'm not really good with emoticons. Emoticons? Is that what they're called? Yeah, emoticons. And I don't know, maybe I should take a class
or
something.
Yes, that is what
they're. So, whenever you think, man, that guy's really full of himself. No, he isn't. It's self-effacing humor, and you just can't get it because it's online. And that's why I said I'm going to quit trying to be a funny guy online. I'll save that for the radio, where it does convey a little better. I don't know how well, but at least you can hear me chuckle. So, anyhow. With all that said, okay. All right, Michael is updating us on his trade over there, not filled yet. I saw that thing blinking and like a cat with a ball of yarn. It distracted me. Okay, let's go to recent images and let's see what we got. All right. Okay. I'm guessing it wants to show us a trade, but it's not. All right, it'll show us this one. Okay, last night on the ES, the tweet said, consider selling 1272.75 on a stop. Okay. 1272.75 on a stop. That's here. Okay. So if you stayed in that trade, it was good for about 10 points. Now, I, being a cautious sort, I warned everybody to, let's see, on the ES, when we were up 5.5 points after a relatively short period of time. If you hover over here, guys, you can see the time, so you know there's never any funny business, except me trying to be funny. So far, 5.5 points, you know, tight stops, lock it or take it. I was being very, very cautious, attempting to be very cautious on everything that we did last night. Because we got off to such a good start, I just didn't want to see it fall apart. That's not last night. Let's see what this one is. Oh, this was the Russell. I rarely ever put anything out on the Russell. Consider selling 753 stop. Where's the Russell at right now, Michael?
Give me 1 second. I will tell you. Well, it's going to take me more than 1 second, but it won't take much more. It's 745.5 half.
Okay, so what do we get out of that? About 90 ticks, is that right? 80 ticks?
Yeah,
what was the lowest it traded?
It traded quite a bit lower than that, I think.
Okay, so then there was some meat on that bone, as they say.
Yeah, it traded down to 43, actually even lower than that. It traded down to 41. Yeah, 41 this morning.
Okay, on the YM, we said consider selling 12.095 stop. And do I have a YM chart up?
YM's at 12,000, just about right now, 12,006.
Oh, here's that. This morning I was talking about those Russell trades. I'll show you this later. Look at this. How sweet is that?
That is sweet.
Okay.
That is very sweet.
All right. Moving right along. So the low, overnight low was what on the YM?
Not the overnight, but the current low. It's down below 12,000 right now.
Well, it's the current low. Okay, so that is the low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that was a 95-point trade if you held it. But again, I was cautioning you at 37 points to consider locking in your profits. You know, just wanting everybody to be conservative. On the euro, it was sell 140.75 on a stop. And these are the old zones, so pay no attention to those. But if you sold 140.75 on the euro, that got you short last night right here. Okay. And we're currently at 139. So, Michael, can you do the heavy lifting there?
40.75 down to 39?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? 40, 75, down to 39, even. It's 175.
Right? That's 175 pips.
It's 175.
Now, that's a lot of pips. Come on. Gladys Knight did not have that many pips.
That's $2,100 worth of pips.
175 times 1250. Yeah, that's like 2,187 pips.
Yep.
She couldn't afford all those pips. I mean, with the hair, with the jerry curl.
Yeah, that's a lot of pips.
The clothes, you know, come on. The mics. All right, moving right along. Okay, so we covered the ES, the Euro, the Russell, the YM. That's all there was. There aren't any more markets or any more markets that I cover. Now, that tweet on the Russell, that was a rarity. Okay, I don't normally not even look at the Russell on the overnight because it's a thin... Tell them why I don't look at the Russell on the overnight, Michael.
Because it is traded so thinly. There's usually a spread, so pretty much every trade you get into, you're losing money right away. That's pretty much it. If you try to trade, you know, a lot of contracts, you're going to have trouble trading a lot of contracts on the Russell at night.
You guys see this right here? Before we go live each day, I usually go on Twitter and I plug my friend David Williams over at Page Trader. I give him free advertising right there. See that? I don't think he does that for me. I don't know. Maybe he does. I'm on his homepage. That's pretty impressive, right?
That is. That's impressive. He doesn't have a lot of folks on his homepage.
Did you know that experts agree traders who are not CFRN partners are 99% less likely to improve their trading without using our indicators and methodology? Oh, I mentioned that already.
You did.
I think I got it wrong that time, too. Oh, those
experts. Yeah, you did.
Those experts. I got no use for any of them.
Experts right. Play on words.
All right. Okay, so on that Euro, see, last night when we had 1175, that's how far it had moved. Nice Sunday night. I'm like, you know, hey, that's a good deal. There was 1175 on the Euro, 38 ticks on the Russell, 37 points on the YM, and 94 pips on the ES. I mean, on the Euro, and 5.5 points on the ES. And at that point, I was just kind of like, you know, ready to walk away and say, hey, you know what? But the markets did continue lower. So, again, it's up to the individual. These are general trade directions, you know. You should, again, past performance is no indication of future results. You've got to set up your phone so that you're actually notified when there is a tweet. And, you know, I'll just go ahead and throw this disclaimer on top of it all. They're for entertainment purposes at best, okay, because it's overnight, it's Globex, the markets can move a great distance on a very small amount of volume, and you should probably be in bed trying to get some sleep. If for anything, they might be of benefit to some of our traders who are in other parts of the world who are not here in the U.S. Might be helpful to them. Since when do they start showing? I guess, never mind.
Okay.
I just saw them scroll across the Polish stock market, the Russian stock market.
I did not see that.
I didn't even know they had one. Well, I guess I did. I knew they had one. Sweden. Let's see. Denmark's down 12 points. Finland's down 232 points.
Yeah.
Germany's down 184. France is down 94. The FTSE's down 134. Yeah. So, and I'll tell you this, guys. We are eerily, on this Halloween day, eerily close to our lowest weekly trading zones. In fact, I think on the Euro we already blew it out. So I don't have a really creative term to apply to that other than sometimes it happens. And I'm not going to change my recipe just because it doesn't look right. I tried that once or twice a couple years ago, and I found out quickly that if I had just stuck to my guns, it would have all worked itself out by the end of the week. And so I don't change anything anymore. You know, even, I mean, there's been a couple times when I would put out the weekly trading zones, and like on the ES, we'd be like 2 points away from the highest zone or the lowest zone, and I'm like, what's the point of even putting this out? But I'd put it out anyway. And by the end of the week, it all made sense. So we'll see what happens this week. You know, no guarantees, no promises. All right, Michael, anything else now that we're officially 2 minutes late? anything you want to add before we go to David?
I pulled that trade that I was trying to get filled there on the ES, on the four-tick range. I pulled that off. It didn't happen. Nope. Beyond that, happy Halloween, everyone. Hopefully, you'll all be here tomorrow.
Boy.
All right.
All right. Okay, guys, we're going to pause right here, right now. We'll be back with David Williams from PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Today is Halloween, isn't it?
It is. And your intro music started a little bit late because I was trying to send one of those emoticons to somebody, and
it
just threw me off.
No problem at all. Dwayne, are you dressing up today for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going as Justin Bieber.
Michael, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going as me. I'm
going as you.
Yes.
Right. He's out in the front yard showing off his guns.
How would you define How would you define that?
Frightening.
Frightening. No, that's good. After a long series of discussions with friends and counselors that I have, I've decided I'm going to dress up as well as a freeway off-ramp. And I'm going to have a large sheet of cardboard that looks like a road. It'll have shrubbery and little lines on it and little cars on it. And that'll start right from my neck area and go down at sort of a 45-degree angle. And it'll just look like a freeway off-ramp with the little signs and stuff like that. I thought that would be clever.
Clever, yes.
All right.
Indeed.
And you're gonna hold a little sign that says, "We'll work for food"? Is that how that
goes? No. I'm going to be the off-ramp itself. I might have a few of those little people dotting there with those little signs. Like vet needs work, something like that, where the guy actually has like a 67 Corvette pulled over to the side of the road and it needs some exhaust and some other work done to it. That's why he has that sign.
Yeah, another play on words.
Yeah, another play on words.
Hey, do you know,
go ahead, Dwayne.
Do you know why people, do you know how the whole costume thing started? I mean, I don't know, probably everybody the planet knows, but I didn't know until my wife enlightened me. She does daily. Way back in the day, Middle Ages, Dark Ages, ages ago, they thought that on All Hallows' Eve, that the spirits would rise from the dead and they would come and try to find bodies to inhabit, right? Mm-hmm. And so by wearing a costume and dressing up like somebody who was already dead, they would think you were one of the other spirits that had just risen up on All Hallows' Eve to go inhabit a live body, and they would pass you by and not inhabit you.
Oh, okay.
How do you get to be 52 years old and you don't know that? I don't know, but now I do.
Well, there you are. I wouldn't feel too bad about it.
I could have Wikipedia'd that like 20 years ago, but there was no Wikipedia. Oh, hey, I got to stop right here and say thanks to the girl in accounting over at our sponsor Audible for finally sending the check. Thank you. very much.
Hey, you've been waiting a long time for that, haven't you?
Oh,
Glenn?
My God. And, hey, I got to tell you something. On the Steve Jobs book, okay, I'm up to like 1982 at this point. But one of the listeners the other day said it was a baited question. I realize that now. Oh, Mr. Reeves, now that you've had a chance to read a little or hear a little more about Mr. Jobs, what are your thoughts? He's a despicable human being. Okay? I don't like to speak ill of the dead. But in 1982, ain't no two gosh darn ways about it, as David would say, he is a despicable human being. Now, I'm praying that between 1982 and 2011, that changes, that he becomes somehow more lovable, likable, kind, maybe decent to his parents who adopted him and raised him. Hello. But in 82, not real good. That's not a spoiler, guys. That's a teaser. Go download the book. All 25 hours of it, absolutely free, courtesy of your friends at CFRN. You go to audibletrial.com/CFRN. Okay, David, it's all yours.
Well, I think we're still in a discussion here. It's first of all, Halloween's a lot of fun. I'm really, you know, I love the second half of the year. I think is my favorite time of the year, partially because of holidays and partially because of the weather. I think something about the change in the weather is really nice. You know, you're through the hot summer. Or part of the, you're still in it, but maybe the last quarter of the year is my favorite time of the year, maybe something like that. I'm looking forward to Halloween tonight. It sounds like a lot of fun. I wonder if any of our listeners are dressing up as anything, or if they just think that's just plain old silly to do such a thing.
Well, you know, David, most, you know, now some people take it to an extreme. But typically, you Christian folk don't do trick-or-treat. They have Holy Ween, or they have Harvest Fest, or... and I'm not saying if you take your kids trick-or-treating, you're evil, because I don't pass judgment, and I don't, you know, to me, the whole thing's silly anyway. You know, if kids have fun, they get a little... I wouldn't let my kids eat all that candy anyway. But
anymore, I agree.
You know, I mean, even when I was a kid, there was that whole sick thing going on with sickos putting razor blades in apples, and you remember that?
Sure,
and then
I do.
Everybody
a long, long time ago.
Yeah, everybody got freaked out, and pretty soon, you know, they didn't take their kids out. And then there was the whole evangelical movement in the late 80s that carried over into the 90s, where... you know, all of that stuff. See, I grew up in the Deep South, in the Bible Belt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pentecostal holiness. Some people in this audience knows what that means, and it's no lightweight religion, okay? Now, my grandmother would dress me up to go trick-or-treating. She saw nothing wrong, nothing evil. It wasn't deep, it wasn't dark, it wasn't satanic, it wasn't going to ruin me for life, any of that. And she's about as religious a lady as they come, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She loves God with all of her heart, all of her mind, all of her soul, okay? However, fast forward into modern day, and the so-called religious right find the whole Halloween thing very offensive and really won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So, again, I don't pass judgment, and I don't take my kids out, and I have my own reasons. We did go to a Harvest Fest this weekend, and we did see the truck from the latest movie, Transformers. And we did do some fun things. And Gabe dressed up like a pirate, and Emily dressed up like an angel. So we had, you know, we had fun. What are you going to do, David? Are you going to go into a party or something? Are you just going to go door to door?
No, I didn't go to a party, but I enjoy, you know, it's fun to be home and have the doorbell ring.
Ah, gotcha. Okay,
and,
so you like you the know, kids coming. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun just to see them there. Just, you know.
Do you get a lot of traffic at your house?
You know, the home that I'm living in right now is in a neighborhood that's really a children's neighborhood. It's sort of a family neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of swimming pools that are in the neighborhood. There's two or three of them. And these are small homes that people are raising their kids in, and there's schools nearby. So there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood. So, yeah, we do have quite a bit of traffic.
You know, we're in a family neighborhood as well, but our traffic, well, we do turn all our lights off and stay in the back room, but I don't see a lot of kids. I mean, for maybe, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, you might see 10, 12, 20 kids go by. Mm-hmm. But it's not, I mean, when I was a kid, it was like a big event, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean. No, it's so funny. It's so funny, though, when you open the door, a lot of these kids are so young, they don't know what to say or do except they just hold their bag out for you to put candy in it. I mean, it's delightful.
Do you dress up for the kids?
What's that?
Do you dress up for the kids?
No, but I have dressed up, and I actually have done the freeway off-ramp. I'm not dressing up this time, but that was one of my later ones. I had considered dressing up as the county's drainage system at one point, but that was a really large outfit. And I couldn't do it, so I had to stay to something a little more, a little more normal. But no, it's just a lot of fun to see the kids, and it's a lot of fun to see their little costumes and their little faces and stuff. And you know, like I've said, is as you get older, everybody looks younger and younger and younger. Until at this point, at 54, college students look like junior high school kids to me. They really do. I don't know if you're at that point yet, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Michael, how old are you, Michael?
I am 43.
43. You're just a young little thing, yeah. So,
Michael, yes. Around your house, are you in a neighborhood where you get a lot of traffic? Kids coming out to retreat, or
not really? You know, in my neighborhood, in my town, the houses are farther apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the kids go to the areas where they don't have to walk as far to get to different houses.
They go on horseback, generally.
Yeah, but it's still. The lack of kids doesn't mean that there's a lack of houses. You just have to walk a little farther. So, like with my kids, we started our house, and you know, we go out and we walk around this block. It's about a mile, and we still have. You know, I don't let the kids eat all the candy they get. We still have candy they got last year.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the fun of it all is just watching the kids run up to the houses and ring the doorbell and say trick or treat, and then be peppered with questions about what they are and. Now, and this year, Jake's an Angry Bird, for those of you who know what Angry Birds are.
Yeah.
The Angry Bird game.
Oh, I saw a kid at the Harvest Fest, probably the best costume. Well, let me just brag. Emily got at daycare, she won Most Imaginative Costume Award. They actually gave her an award, and I have it, and I'll probably be framing it, knowing me. My wife, because... Before she came to live with us, Bio Mom, in government speak, had already made some weird Halloween arrangement kind of a thing. She had a witch's costume. My wife, artfully, craftily, with needle and thread and a trip to the dollar store, turned it into the most lovely angel outfit. Ta-da! And when I brought her home from daycare on Friday, I said, honey, you won an award. She goes, oh, really, what I do? Well, actually, they gave the award to Emily, but since you made the costume, I think it probably belongs to you. And it's a true story. She really did. So I wouldn't make something like that up, guys. You know.
Well. You know, Dwayne, you had mentioned the religious groups that had complained in the 90s, and I remember that well, late 80s, 90s, about Halloween, et cetera. And it didn't fly with people, you know, at first it got into the news, and then ordinary people realize that it's, you know, it's all just in fun. We're not, you know, no kid is believing in, you know, the evil spirits or the evil this or the evil that. It's just all fun. It's very much like playing a part in a cartoon or something. And it just went away. And then, you know, you don't see many churches complaining anymore, or do you? Maybe I'm out of sight of the loop, but the fact that the public rejected it, it kind of just went away, and it turned into a... Had the public accepted it, you'd still be hearing that go on and how evil it is, et cetera, et cetera. But
well,
the
David,
public rejected it,
no, I'm
as
still,
far as I
I'm still kind of hearing it, because almost not all, but quite a number of the Christian churches. And again, when I say Christian church, I'm leaning towards the evangelical
sure.
brand, which we have an awful lot of in this part of Phoenix, they do what's called the Harvest Fest, mm-hmm. where they're trying to keep the kids out of, you know, they don't want you wearing the witch's costume or the Dracula thing. They want you to dress up as some other, you know, character. David, can you see my screen?
Yes.
That's my living room, by the way. Oh. And I've not photoshopped the living room. Wait a minute. I Facebooked this the other day. We went on a picnic, and the tweet, I mean the Facebook tag was, don't you just love it when people upload their food? Because, see, I'm kind of really, like, bothered by that. I don't know why. Because people think every time they eat something, they need to put a picture of it online.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody commented, what did she put down? Some of those patties look a little suspect, but the dogs look great. Well, what had happened is they had gotten stuck together. They were frozen, and we were trying to pull them apart, and they turned to mush. And then shortly thereafter, that little leg right there gave way on the grill, and all of this food ended up covered in dirt.
Oh.
But anyway, I just wanted you to once again to see the lovely costume, and then Dad will stop bragging. He'll put his wallet back in his pocket. Remember those days when you were going to show off your kids, how the, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, they'd whip out the wallet, and the big thing would fall down with all the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
That's all gone digital, you know?
That has.
It's all gone digital.
No, it really has. All right. Well, let's take a quick look at the markets here and see where we are. We've got a lot of happy Halloween, by the way, to everybody. And let's see where we are, because we have quite a few indications for this time period. As we talked about recently, in spite of the fact that we've had such a powerful advance off of this monthly bottom, which was originally called for September, came a couple trading days late in or landed on October 4th at slightly lower prices, came 1 month late, and the market is now advanced powerfully, surprisingly powerfully, off of that low, and has covered the majority of the, if not all of the movement that would normally be expected off of about 2 to 3 months worth of movement. So, in other words, compressed into 1 month was maybe 3 months worth of price movement on the upside. The fact that they've been able to do this indicates one of my one of the people who's involved with Reflected Wave, one of the students, had made note of the fact that the size of the advance may mean that it belongs to a larger time frame in some other form of work. It's a monthly bottom in Reflected Wave. It turns out that that actually is correct, that this one of the reasons the advance is so large, this is from having taken a look at this over the weekend, is because the market put in a quarterly roadmap type of bottom in the same time frame. So we went from a quarterly Reflected Wave top to a monthly Reflected Wave bottom. This is a little confusing, but from a quarterly top on Reflected Wave also to a quarterly bottom on the roadmap. So there was a monthly and a quarterly both calling for a bottom in this time frame, something that I had not noticed prior, because you get out to quarterly and that's a very large time frame. So this advance, one of the reasons, for at least purely technically speaking, one of the reasons the advance was so powerful is that it actually is more than monthly. It's actually monthly from Reflected Wave and quarterly from a roadmap basis. So that's interesting, and I hadn't noticed that before. It was actually sort of pointed out as a possibility, and I looked into it, and it so turned out to be that a much isn't larger time frame is at work. So,
isn't that a bit rewarding when someone that you have taught something to is then able to come back and show you something?
Yeah, it definitely is, and it's interesting that I love it when other people are thinking about what they're learning and thinking about ideas and coming up with a different viewpoint, or even, like in this case, a suggestion of what it might be, etc. And that is the sign of a good student. That's a sign of somebody who's putting their own foot ahead of the next foot, trying to learn their material at the same time, trying to think a little bit outside of the box, etc. you know, the teacher doesn't know everything. A lot of times students can have very good insights. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm not crazy about the term student, but I know that's what they are, but there's a better name for what they are. But either way, sometimes a student can have a very impressive insight. And, you know, this goes back to this idea that, you know, when I had a different business that I was in many years ago, the owner gets a lot of the credit for, you know, the business being there and for the business being successful. But there was a number of people that worked for me who gave enormously clever ideas or very good ideas that ended up being implemented that only I knew that they had given those ideas, or myself and maybe one other person. And then, of course, it looks like the people at the top made that business decision and it worked out really well, something like that. And before you know it, you know, you're being credited with the stuff when somebody else that worked for you came up with the idea. And I'm sure that happens
a lot.
All
I can hear is Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure he came up with an enormous number of his own ideas, but I'm sure he experienced that as well, that he may have had an idea and didn't take it all the way or took it to a certain way and somebody else
threw in something. No, he just stole everybody's idea that worked for him and called it his own.
Is that the case?
Well, in 82 it is. I don't know how it plays out. You know, I still got a couple decades to go here. But, yeah. I mean, I really went into this. I got to tell you, I just got to say this, man. I went into this really just admiring this guy because, you know, I love the technology. I'm an Apple fanboy, blah, blah. But I was doing some work in our condo Sunday afternoon, and I got my earbuds in. I'm just kind of zoning out, cleaning walls, listening to this. And, man, I found myself emotionally moved to the point of, I don't know, almost disgust.
Yeah. Sounded like that a little while ago when
you
were saying that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man, it's powerful. If you don't, and the fact is he wanted the whole story told. He could have covered it up. I mean, sure, somebody else could have came out and wrote some of this stuff, but this is, you guys, you got to understand, this is an authorized biography. In other words, he wanted people to know who he really was.
This is all part of the evolution of a human being. You know, if you want to hide something, it means you're afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, it means you think it has power over you. If you think it has power over you, you're wrong, and you've just given something that doesn't have any power. And now you're going to spend the rest of your life running from it. And that's a very important point for your day-to-day life as well, you know, because something comes up in your mind and you think, oh, you know, I better, you know, say this to this person, or I better get this impression across, because if I don't, then that person or that group is going to think this way about me, and that would be bad. Now you've just built another railroad track for your life to be forced onto, because you now believe that something that has no power has power, just because you gave it that power, just because you are afraid of that. So here's this point. I mean, you could really go into some detail about that, because it's a very powerful point. You know, you see people suffering in these cities and towns where they can't eat and they can't get the basic necessities, but there's another level of suffering where everyone has the basic necessities, but they're suffering just as much inwardly, because they have, just as I and everyone else has, they've learned to live their life, strangely enough, through fear. Fear is a powerful motivator. Even if the fear is something that's not necessary and completely meaningless, as long as it's meaningful to you, you will then live your life running from that and building your life around it. So in this particular man, you know, he's evolved enough in his life to say, you know, we're going to record the whole thing the way it was. He was probably much younger, I'm sure, in the 80s. He was 30 years younger. So he was young and was maybe, you know, grabbing for the credit at that time, and all the things that, you know, everyone, this is it's a school. This is, life is kind of like a school. In some people's case, it's a continuing school with everyone you hated in high school. They're still around you. No, it's nice that he did authorize that and didn't try to make the picture too pretty, because we all have that in our background. And my point was that I got a lot of credit in some of my business endeavors for ideas that I had, in many cases, nothing to do with. Somebody just came up with a really brilliant idea, And then later, you're seeing people look up to you because you had the great idea, and only a small number of people know who the guy really was. And you could then say, well, now I'm afraid, see, using that fear thing, that someone will find out that that wasn't my idea, and that'll take some of the shine off of me. And now if you believe in that as a fearful thing that could happen and you want to hide it, you've just built another wall on your own personal prison. And before you know it, this goes back to that free will thing, you've built so many of these walls, you're living your life in such a way that every little thing that you think, no, I shouldn't think that way, can't say this, can't say that, and before you know it, you've built another wall, another wall, you're hardly free, because those walls are just as real as a physical wall to you. Not to somebody else necessarily, but to you. And you will, you know, a good day in prison is when you don't see any of the walls. So a good day for a person who's continually building the wall of fear in every little area of their life, a good day for him is when he doesn't see the walls. In other words, he doesn't run smack dab into them and realize that he has to run back to the center to get away from those walls. So a good day, a normal, you know, good day for somebody who has built the walls, which is most of us, is when you just don't run into the walls. But you're going to run into the walls because life is going to force you to at some point or another. And then since you believe in the original wall, now you're going to have to build a second wall because of the fear of running into the wall. And, you know, it goes on and on and on until finally you're just compressed into a very, very, you know, you have a physical body, you look like you're fine, but inwardly you're compressed into a little corner in your life. And that corner is literally just as bad as living as these people who are physically unable to get food and water and whatever. Yeah, they have a different kind of suffering, but there's people walking around that are very well fed and have normal jobs and stuff, ordinary people, who are suffering enormously by their own hand, unknowing that they're building, that they are constantly taking fear and building a new wall because they're afraid of a certain event or thing happening that would, quote unquote, hurt them. I mean, can you feel the urge to not want to be that way? Can you feel an urge in you to, I'm asking anybody, can you feel the urge to want to stop living that way, where everything that could possibly do you some supposed harm that you then run from, you turn from, you hide, you have to cover up, and it has no power to anybody but to you. It only means something to you. And yet, because it means something to you, you've built the wall, and before you know it, you're living a very compressed life. So a free life, somebody who really does have his own free will without going into all that, would be at the very least, a person who is no longer willing, at the very start, he's no longer willing to continue to build those walls, to build the train tracks to a very fixed life. And he gets to a point in his life where he says, not right now, at the very minimum, I'm going to stop building new walls of fear. I am not going to, when that comes up, which it will, I better act this way, or I better, because if I don't, then this, you know, all these, they see that in motion, and they become conscious of the act of building them, putting the mortar and the water and the brick together. They see themselves in that act, and that very seeing starts to release them from it, and then they can see old walls where they're running into. Over time, you can just bash through all of them because you start to realize the unreality of them. And yet, unreal things can cause very real suffering. Unreal. The fact that it's not real doesn't take away any of the power for it to cause you to actually suffer. You are actually suffering.
And the fact that you actually suffer from it makes it very difficult to say that it is unreal.
Right. The suffering is real, but the cause of it is because you have given it a reality. You have concluded that it's real. And remember, we've talked about this. Once you've concluded something, it operates automatically. You no longer have to give it energy, knowingly giving it energy. It is taking energy from you as well. So at least partially, to have a free life, to have this free will, you would have to, at the very least, have seen through the mechanism of building the walls of fear and have moved through that and knocked them down, seeing them as your own creation, not as a reality outside of you, but as your own creation. And once that's done, you now are in a very much more free state. And I have to tell you, just from my own very limited experience in all of this, that freedom feels very nice. It's not a nice feeling like a sensation, like somebody giving you a back rub or something like that. It's a feeling that you are not hampered by relaxing into every situation and moving where the situation goes and not being tied to automatic induced, self-induced reactions. You're able to actually see people, talk to people, listen to people, because you're not constantly reacting inside of your head off of these walls. Somebody mentions a word that triggers an idea in your head, that as they're saying a sentence, and that reminds you of a fear you have, and now you're not even listening to them anymore, are you? You're just, you know, you're reacting to your own thing. So it's a very nice thing, and I encourage people, and I won't go into much more detail here, but I really encourage people to think about this. You can suffer very hard based upon something that isn't real. And when that happens, somebody, something has to come along in life to tell you that that's the case. And then it's your work. No one else can do that part for you. You have to go in and see for yourself if that is the case. And the only reason you would do that is because you have had enough of suffering for, you know, feeling the fear, running from things, etc. And, you know, we've all seen movies where people finally turn around and they face the very thing that they've been so afraid of, and then they conquer it. The reason why we respond so powerfully to movies like that, whatever the movie is, whether it's a fairy tale or a real movie, is because there's something in us, there's something down there that knows that we can be that, we can do that, we can actually be that guy. We're not going to be in the movie. It's a private thing, but we can actually do that and overcome. You know, you see people chanting, "We can overcome." Well, that we respond to that because there's something in the inner drama in life, which is all the drama there really is the inner drama. We know that there's some part of us that knows we can get through all the stuff that we've built up and we've told ourselves is so frightening for us that we would never be able to get through. And so wouldn't it be a good idea to spend 5 minutes a day, maybe 10 if you're a really good student, and sit down and watch the fears that come up in your mind. Make a list of them, the things that you're afraid of. Oh, you know, and there's going to be some practical ones. Don't run into the street because you could be hit by a car. That is not the type of fear we're talking about. We're talking about all the types of fears that have to do with your personal self, so quote-unquote, your personal self, those. And take a look at that and watch yourself throughout the day, because the day will bring up all kinds of little events, and sometimes you'll be talking to somebody and they'll just mention a word, and that'll set off a whole triggered response inside of you. All these little fears coming up. How do you like that? How do you like living like that? You can't like it, because that's suffering. So just merely being aware of this is already a solvent for undoing the very thing that has been built by your own hand. Don't blame other people, because this is your own hand that builds this stuff. And when you really see that, when you actually see that it's your own hand, it's an amazing insight that you yourself are doing this to you yourself, and that there's nobody else to blame, that the only thing that there was to be afraid of was something that you had named scary because you're hiding something or believe you need to hide something, you believe you need to act a certain way, etc. And so take some time with this, because it can really open up, make you feel, remember the young feeling of being young and wide open spaces and all that stuff? That's before all of this got stuck on you, before people told you you had to be this way and should be that way. We believed it whole, and we started to design our lives around that fear. So this has been a very powerful thing for me. I've mentioned it in a number of ways on the program, but I really encourage people that, put it this way, whether it's today or tomorrow or 10 years from now, at some point you're going to be exactly where I'm talking about, where you've had enough of this, and you're going to want to spend some time on it. Why not hasten that day and start now? Why wait for it? The truth of the matter is that you will wait for it until it becomes serious enough for you to take some action on it. So if that may not be today. Maybe you're not aware of it enough, but unconscious suffering is still suffering. You may not be aware of how much there is, but it still is suffering, and it still does direct your life. So to be free of all that is a wonderful thing, and it's one of the main reasons that you can wake up in the morning and look forward to a day, is because you're going to unwind, you're going to undo all of the damage that you've actually built yourself. And each day can be much, much better when you spend it with the idea of catching more and more of those walls that you yourself have built, and the very catching is part of the act of undoing it, and suddenly life becomes much, much easier, much freer. You solve problems differently. You're not running from things. You know, my goodness, it's hard to put in words the feeling. And I'm not speaking as a teacher. I'm speaking as somebody who is on the same path, probably very much the same place that many of you are, with the one exception that, and this would only be an exception if you had not known this, that I'm aware that I've done this, that I have built a number of these, number thousands of these walls. And I don't want to continue living that way. I know for me that is not going to stay with me. It's really important to me personally to get to undo those.
Okay, but David, is becoming a freeway off-ramp really the answer?
It is for me, Duane.
Okay.
Coming out like that and letting people know that this is who I really am, I'm a freeway off-ramp. I mean, just that statement alone, I think, carries a lot of weight. There's a lot of respect in that.
I got some questions for you.
Go ahead.
Of the earthly.
Yes, no, that's fine.
Let's see. All right, start with the Eds. Ed asks, since the ES put in a quarterly roadmap bottom, doesn't David have an upside target for the roadmap move up?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you'll give me a minute, I saw it on the weekend and I didn't write it down, so I wonder if you give me just a minute here, let me see if I can bring up a quarterly chart. The majority of the target was already reached. I'm just trying to find the chart that refers to that.
While you're looking, you can probably just answer this one off the top of your head. Duane, will you ask David if anyone has come up with a tweak for Ninja so that Reflected Wave could agree with CQG?
Have him talk to me personally about that. That would be a subject that, in order for me to answer that, it would. There's a couple things I can say to him, and I hope he will call after the show today if he's free.
This one will require three voices. Answer.
I'm sorry?
I said this one will require three voices, not just the normal, the high-pitched.
Right, exactly.
He'll do the spooky Halloween voice for you as well.
Right. Just roughly speaking, this is not going to be exact, but the target on a roadmap basis would have been something like 1305. This is rough, so don't grab this too seriously yet because I haven't worked it all out. But I'm looking at one of the roadmap charts, and 1305 would have been the target off of the 1068 bottom. Now, we have not reached 1305, but as I said, we've already covered the majority of the target in 1 month, and that is larger than usual. And again, I hadn't even considered this is why this is such an interesting thing. I got the suggestion and looked into it and realized, wow, there is something much bigger working here. And so 1305 would be the next important target. We, of course, have reached about 1289. And so we'll see how this plays out. As everybody knows, we're in the 1 week late right now for the Reflected Wave top, and that this decline would, under normal conditions, be the first important and earliest indication now that we're past the 1 week late that a larger decline, multi-day decline, and even multi-week sideways to lower would occur. Unless there's something even larger at work here, because the market should respond to weekly, we would have no weekly closes for several weeks above last week's high. And last week's high is the, we might not even touch it, but we should have no, at worst case, we should have no closes above 1289. So we'll see how this works out. Now, as we were talking here,
Maybe you can, I don't know, this is a little offbeat, but I just saw this, this John Corzon guy, the CEO of MF Global.
Yes.
The futures company that went down today, the clearinghouse, and their shares were halted, and they're filed for bankruptcy.
Saw that. That's the company, by the way, that Lynn Waldock clears through. And before then, it was Refco, and they had a big problem, and then they sold out to MF Global. So, yeah, bad day at Lynn Waldock.
Yeah, John Corzine had a $1.5 million signing bonus. His salary was $1.5 million a year. But here's my question. He has a $12 million severance package. If they file for bankruptcy, I'm assuming, and maybe not rightfully so, he won't get that $12 million, will he?
No, he probably will get that $12 million because part of the obligations, I mean, not necessarily all of it, but his contract is one of the obligations, just like a vendor or any other employee that they have to pay. That falls under that, and under bankruptcy, depending on how they file 7 or 11, and, you know, bankruptcy is complicated law. There's a lot of if, you know, a lot of other things that can go in there. But no, he is a creditor, in a sense, and would be either paid some portion of that or paid all of it, depending on.
So did Lynn Waldock clear all of their business through?
I think they did. I'm not 100% sure what they're doing. I did call them this morning. Mm-hmm. I was getting a quote on the way in, and they are answering their phones, etc. And bankruptcy doesn't necessarily mean, if it's not seven, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're closing. It just means that the ordinary thing, that they get a halt on having
they're
to pay all
their creditors.
They're shooting
for Chapter 11, and but the Fed has so halted all everything. They can't do any new business today. I don't know how that affects an open position. I don't know if it's automatically closed. I would think if the Fed says, you know, no new business. In fact, that was a headline. Fed says no new business for MF Global. So I guess a client or customer could close out an existing position.
But there's also, just for people to know this, brokerages have certain kinds of insurance for depositors. So we're all depositors in brokerage accounts. It's not the same thing as a bank. You have to check with your brokerage, and I suggest that you do. And maybe Bert, if he's around today, could chime in.
He's out.
But he might be chime in on this remotely. Because it's a good idea. If no matter, all of our money is important to us, right? I mean, whether you put $2,500 in or you put $25,000 in or whatever your number is, it's all important to us, and it's a very good idea for you to know what the insurance is that you get at the bank. Let me tell you some other things. This is just along these lines for people to think about. The federal deposit insurance in a regular bank was raised recently to $250,000. But there's ways to get much larger insurance from your same bank. That's $250,000
per account.
In your personal account per account. But it's not per every account. If you have a business account, it's unlimited. You're insured in most banks, or if it's not unlimited, it's up to a substantially higher amount of money. So if you wanted to, you could have an individual account for $250,000, and then you could have a business account with substantially more insurance than that. Maybe, let's just say you had a business account with, you know, $1 million in it. Let's just say that was the number. And you would think, well, no, I'm only covered for the 250. But no, you're actually covered separately in a business account in most banks. And so in some cases, it's actually unlimited coverage. They will cover you for whatever the amount is, whereas under a personal account, it'll be 250.
And for people who don't have business accounts, what they recommended when all this was happening is, you know, one spouse can have an account, 250. The other spouse can have an account, 250. And then together they can have a joint account, 250. So you're covered for 750 there without even having a business account. You just have to structure it that way.
Yeah.
Now, Robert says that he called his broker today, and they said that the monies are segregated, but there is no insurance on futures accounts, but the monies are still safe because of the segregation. And according to Mark, he says his indication that he got was that all accounts are frozen at this point.
Okay. Okay.
So customer segregated accounts, according to Alan, should be safe from clearing firms.
Yeah, the customer deposits should be. There might be some issues with people who hold stocks and some other things there. But brokerages have insurance as well. So you do want to check out before you get into these things what they are. And I'm just mentioning that thing about the bank because I didn't know this until just a few weeks ago about ordinary banks. If you have let's just say you had $500,000, just as an example, and 250 of it is in a personal account, and you had some other money in that same bank in another account, maybe it's not a business account, but it's some other account. Well, it would be wise for you, since it's under your normal name, to put that money into some other kind of an entity in the business account if you want to have it in that bank, so that you're covered on both of them. So keep that in mind, because the banks don't seem that excited about telling you about that, but I did find that out by reading some of the literature at the bank, and I questioned them and said, am I understanding this correctly, that I could actually have, you know, and they said, yeah, you could move money into this, into some kind of business entity, and that's covered up to X number of dollars. On Wells Fargo, I think it may be unlimited in business accounts. If it's not unlimited, it's a very high limit.
Now, here's one of the benefits of doing business with Daniel's Trading, where Bert and Leslie work. Okay, you know, they're our brokers. They're who we recommend, the only ones we recommend. They clear through multiple firms. In fact, it's my understanding from a discussion with one of the high-level people at Daniel's, there is no other introducing broker who clears through more firms than they do, making them, in one respect, one of the largest firms out there. And so if you were a client at Daniel's and you were clearing through MF Global with a little bit of paperwork, you would be switched over to another clearinghouse, and you might miss today being able to trade or have access to your funds, but potentially by tomorrow you're up and running through another clearinghouse. Uh-huh. If you're with a broker who only clears through MF Global, well, guess what? Your broker, they got to go through a whole new process to get set up with a completely different clearinghouse, unless the Fed reverses the decision they've made on MF Global. I mean, they may, tomorrow there may be a news release that says, okay, we're going to let them start it back up again. But you don't know that. And so,
right.
It's just a plug. Does that sound like a plug for Daniel's Trading? That's exactly what it is. It's a plug for Daniel's and for Bert and Leslie. Yeah, that's what it is. So, because it can happen to, I mean, it happened to MF, but you know what? Stuff can happen to anybody, and I'm not defending or pointing a finger at the people at MF and this John Corzine guy, because I really don't know the story. I don't know why they went down when others are still up and trading. I don't know what they did wrong. I don't know what, somebody obviously somewhere made a poor decision, a bad trade, who knows? I don't know.
Well, I want to say something that Refco, who was the company before them, and I think MF Global has some connection to Refco, is a broker dealer that has been fined the most of any in the history of the whole market.
Well, they
get fined all the time. They were thugs. I mean, they were doing anything and everything they could until they got caught, and they'd pay the fine and go on. I'm not sure the real connection between MF Global, I could find out, and Refco, but there's been a long history. With anything centered near Refco of these types of problems. So I'm not really that surprised, to be honest with you. This has been going on for so long with Refco. I'm astonished that that company stayed around as long as they did. I'm not sure if they still are around or if they were converted into.
No, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah,
so Bert used to work for them.
So MF Global may actually be the, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes of Refco. And so, therefore, it's the same people, you know, same kind of deal. And maybe, you know, maybe they handle their money wrong, or who knows what. We'll find out. I don't know all the details. Anyway, so let's switch back to the markets real quick. But do check with your banks, because the Federal Deposit Insurance can give you more coverage than you might think. You know, for those of you, maybe you have a trust or something there, and there's more money in the bank, and you've been wondering about it. If this is applicable to you, you might want to investigate that. It's a good piece of information, because it sure looks like the maximum on any one account for any one person is $250, but that one person can have other types of accounts where the money would be covered, and double check that with your bank.
What it comes down to is every separately named account. So I already told you about you and your wife together, but then you could open an account in your son's name. Or your daughter's name, you know, the list goes on and on. I don't think you can get one of your dog's name, but every
my dog's name is Pepperoni and Cheese, and I don't think that would go over well as a bank account name.
Do you spell it out A-N-D, or is it an ampersand?
I'd have to check his tag here, but his tag does say Pepperoni and Cheese. It's probably an ampersand.
Okay. So just remember this, guys, if it's an issue for you, it's a good point David brings up, but it's every separately named account that is insured. And that $250,000, there's a time limit on that. According to the little sign up in the bank, that expires like next year, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. I think they may go back, or they may reconsider, you know, the insurance limits. The reason they did that, just for your information, was because they were afraid of runs on banks.
Yes.
That's the 100% one and only reason that that was done is because banks were collapsing left and right, and they were worried about people running out of the bank. And honestly, it was a very, I thought, wise move. Mm-hmm. Because if the government is willing to step up and say, well, we're going to insure, I thought that was actually one of the wisest things I had seen the government do, because they're so filled with idiotic decisions on a day-to-day basis. This was really good. Basically, it was a very quiet, firm way of telling people, everything's going to be fine. If you're at a bank, we've just raised your insurance to $250. That's how much we believe in the system. That's pretty good.
Yep.
You know, that was pretty good. There were days when I was on this very program, and I was thinking, I'm going to pull my headset off and run and get my money out of the bank right now because things look so bad. So, you know, it just so happens that some banks had much, you know, were not in a strong enough position or had made too many of those silly loans to people who couldn't afford to buy them, and, you know, the houses and all the stuff we all know about.
Yeah, people came into their bank and go, hey, we'd like to, I'm a bag boy at Safeway, but I'd like to buy this $500,000 house. And the banker said, just buy the silly thing.
Yeah, just buy the silly thing. That's great. Would you like to do that with a no-doc loan where we don't even have to know what your job is? Sure, just press hard. You're going through four copies. That's great right there. Blooms and busts, they're going to be here forever. So just know if you lived long enough, every one of them is going to have their own separate conditions, but this is just how it goes. This is how it plays out. I've told you in Nevada, I don't know where everyone else lives, but all from all over the country and all over the world, there's no doubt Nevada took one of the biggest hits in terms of real estate of any of the states, because we have properties here. At first it looked like, well, everything's been cut, you know, by a third. And then it was, well, everything's been cut in half. Well, now everything's, a lot of things have been cut by two-thirds. Mm-hmm. So I have a piece of property that is, admittedly, my timing in buying it was not great, but it's worth, let me figure out what the percentage is right now. I mean, essentially it's worth 36% of what I paid for it right now. So if I was to sell it, I would lose, you know,
right,
65% of what I signed up for.
Do you have a mortgage on it?
I do have a mortgage on it. And, this is one of those things where you can think long and hard and, you know, can you or will you walk away? One of the things about the walkaways, and I'm not exactly sure of all the rules in Nevada, I need to check into this, and so do you if you're considering doing this, has to do with your own assets. And the walkaway in California, I think if you turn in the keys to the house, so to speak, they have no secondary recourse they can take on you. In Nevada, I think the recourse may actually include 6 months they have to recourse on you, and also it may have something to do with your financial ability to continue paying. If you really do have the assets and you're just trying to walk away in Nevada, they may be able to come after you. So I'm investigating that right now. I'm not in a big rush, but I am investigating that to see if that's something that I would want to do. None of these things are worth holding on. This is like a bad trade, and you need to stop at some point in the trade. Now, in this particular case, I happen to be living in the very property that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I actually am getting some value out of it, and I really enjoy the place. As small as it is, I really enjoy it. So I have to consider, you know, there's a lot of factors for me to consider, but in reality, it's not going to be worth that price in my lifetime,
well,
ever again.
On Saturday afternoon when I had my earbuds in and I was scrubbing the walls, I was listening to a couple financial planners that I listened to on Saturday afternoons on public radio, and they were discussing this very thing, you know, walking away. And the guy asked the lady, he goes, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that as grown-up adult financial planners, we would actually be telling people on live radio that one of the choices, one of the options, one of the best ideas for them might be to walk away?
Mm-hmm.
And that was their discussion, is that, you know, because that's just not something a financial planner in a go back 10 years, and but now,
well, a house is one of the best decisions you can ever buy.
Yeah,
you know,
mean,
all the stuff that we've heard all along,
yeah,
at some
it's
point
actually
that's going to be made not
on
true.
On the table with a legitimate, you know, licensed financial planner, that's now again, like David said, depending upon the state you live in and what the laws are, and where your own moral compass points. And I think that because of the current conditions, I think your moral compass might be just spinning round and round right now. I don't know that it's pointing in any particular direction. I don't know. It depends on... that's something that each person has to work out for themselves. And certainly
well, you're talking about the morality of having signed up for a larger loan,
yes,
and then saying, well, it's no longer worth holding. Yeah. But remember, they're getting the house back. They're getting the thing back that has
right,
whatever the value is in the house. I agree with you that there's some, it's somewhat questionable on some levels, but it's not that you're stealing their thing from them.
Right.
You're basically giving them back their thing and saying, I just, in most cases, people really can't afford their houses. It's not even a moral issue.
Exactly.
It's, I signed up for more than I can pay, and not only that, now not only is it more than I can pay, but now the house isn't worth, you know, but a third of what I paid. So they just can't, they can't afford that debt.
Yeah,
you know,
it's one thing to get a second and third job to pay for something that has value, but to get the second or third job for something that, you know, it's difficult. And so I know that some people might wrestle with that issue, and I just want you to know that, you know, I'm not passing judgment on anybody and how they handle this situation. I mean, if I had that option, then I would have that dilemma. You know, I'm not in a position where I'm wrestling with that, but if I were, I don't put myself above anyone else. You know, I'm not going to say come heck or high water I'd stick it out because I signed up, and if I had to get 12 jobs I would. No, I'm not going there at all.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You can practice walking away. Start with like a Snickers bar, eat about half of it, put it down, say, you know what, I'm done with that. Just walk away and see if you can do that, and then just work your way up, and then finally you'll have the nerve to go to your bank and say, listen, I've had enough of this, you know. But start with something small. Bag of M&Ms. That's how I'm starting. Just little things like that. You know, would you like a receipt with that? No, that's fine. Just walk away.
I had half a Tootsie Roll at the Harvest Fest, and it was just disgusting, so I threw the other half away.
Well, then, okay. But you don't need to worry about that. You don't need that skill.
I walked away. All right. So, markets. There was a question. Where'd it go? I thought there was a question. Maybe we already answered it. Hang on, let me scroll up here.
Okay.
I thought somebody said, Richard said, I thought 1 week late was last week.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, and so
that's why
is.
I'm saying
okay,
that we are not going to see either under normal conditions even a test of last week's high, but very, very worst case, considering the fact that this is a weekly top against a quarterly, up to as large as quarterly bottom, that we would not see any weekly closes above last week. It's possible, you know, once in a while some unusual behavior can happen under very, very unusual conditions, and there are unusual conditions that will occur, just very much like the housing crash. Doesn't happen, but once in 60, 70 years perhaps, something like that could happen. Well, this is an example, perhaps, you know, in the markets we see this. But we should see a multi-week sideways to lower, so that's based on last week being the 1 week late, so that is correct. So the market being down right now, this is normal. This is the normal beginning. And if you throw up a weekly chart, you know, so far that you can see just visually.
I'm weekly on the ES right now.
Yeah, there you are. We're starting to show the beginnings of that type of behavior. And again, I always wonder why your charts look different than mine.
Well, this is a Globex chart.
Yeah, no, that's right. We use Globex as well. Maybe it's just that yours is a little bit more compressed down than mine. Why don't you make yours taller, not wider, taller? Something like that. There you go.
Does that look more like yours or less?
Kind of. A little bit. Anyway, it's okay. It's no worries.
It's the real
deal. We all know who has the superior charting system. It's no problem. No, that's fine.
My sponsors love it when you say that crap.
No, I know. They really do. I know. And my sponsors love it when I say
because
it as
I've
well.
Tried them both, so. And I totally disagree. So we won't argue in front of the audience, though.
Well, I think the people that are utilizing the superior system would disagree with you. And they're willing to pay more for that system.
Actually, they email me and tell me it's not worth the money.
Oh. Well, maybe I should check my email for people who've emailed me saying that it is worth that money.
Okay. And then we'll compare notes after the show.
We can compare notes after the show.
All right.
All right. The bottom that we put in here this morning, you know, considering a couple things I want to say, then we'll move on from the S&P, but a couple things about the S&P. The bottom that we put in this morning was against a one-week late top. So do you really want to buy that, right? You're in the one-week late. We've now moved past the one-week late, and I'm less likely, put it this way, I'm less likely to want to buy a bottom because the market may very well now want to do what in so many cases happens after you're past the one-week late, is that the bigger move gets right underway. Now, this is weekly stuff, and they have a little extra room before that might show its hand, and because we're only in day one of the week. But I am more hesitant to buy this stuff. Having said that, we went ahead and bought it. anyway, this morning, this is for an intraday trade. This is for an intraday short-term trade. And we're buying the market at 1259.25, and we exited our final at 1263, just a point higher than where we were a few minutes ago, a point higher from where we are now. Having said that, under more normal conditions, and certainly I'm not sure that we're in normal conditions, we would have an initial approximate 5-point advance, which was what we've had, and then an additional 5 for about 10 to maybe even as much as 12 points off of this morning's low. That's normally what we would have off of this bottom. I would be careful with that, and that's why we're not really making a big deal out of it. But if you want to trade that and you do end up getting long, whether through Dwayne's system on his inferior charting package or on our based on what I'm telling you here on our superior charting package, you can look for another 5 points up, totaling, let's just put it this way, basically let's just say up to 68. That would be probably a safe number, if not higher, that you could trade to on the long side if you want to do that from here. So just keep an eye on that. That's something that we're watching. We traded the first half of it because that part was quite certain. The second half, a little less certain because of this. And also, look at, today is trading very much like a holiday. Is this today a holiday? Is there some holiday out there, Dwayne, today?
Nope.
Okay.
Halloween,
Well, Halloween's a holiday, but
we don't officially take the day off in the market.
Yeah, I thought there might be some strange little less known holiday that, pays homage to some man who, had a lifelong fascination with the oil change, the suggested oil change intervals of the Buick LeSabre or something.
Somebody asking in the live trading room today if tomorrow was a holiday, and I don't know why.
Yeah, somewhere around here, that's what I'm thinking too. There's some kind of holiday that I thought was coming here.
But
anyway,
market holidays are almost always either a Monday or a Friday. I mean, unless it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or 4th of July.
Right.
We never take out a weekday,
a
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. Real quick, if you want, let's switch over to gold. We don't have a lot to say other than what I just said on the S&P, but let's take a look at gold.
Okay.
We had last week we had a top that was put in gold one day late.
1754.
And the gold market has confirmed that top today with a nice decline here. Not huge, but reasonable decline. I mentioned that November 3rd is going to be important for gold. I think I mentioned that last week, and that is still the case. So we want to, we could trade into that date as well, but I haven't done anything yet with this, but we do want to watch as we get closer. That's really 3 trading days from now. That's this week, 3 trading days. So keep that in mind, and we'll take another look at gold as we get a little bit closer to that time period. Okay?
Okay.
We could see a decent decline, a continued decline here. I'll save that. I'll save until we get a little closer. So rather than confuse, I don't want to confuse people now with anything. We'll wait for that. And then let's take a look. I do want to bring something up about the euro, because we've had a nice decline off the euro off the same date, basically October 27th, 28th time period. And this this decline, one of our subscribers had got stuck in a short trade that he had initiated somewhere in here, and the market broke out and had this big move up. And he had called up and asked for a suggestion about what to do about his position. And what do you think I told him?
Get out.
Pretty good.
Get out.
And why would I say that? In spite of the fact that we have a top. Well, let me tell you why. You don't have to guess.
I mean, I could... Okay.
I mean, it's just simple. We don't fool around with losing positions because quite often if the market does something unusual or has some larger thing at work than what you're measuring, that loss could easily turn into two or three times what it already is. And there's no need to do that. So after a small decline in the recent decline off of this top, he exited his position. Well, at this point, the market has moved all the way back and would have let him out at a break even. Those magical words, it would have let him out at an easy break even. And what does this train him to do next time?
Yep.
It trains him to hold on to losing positions. It won't train him because I've already made it this very clear to him. But and I hope he's made it clear to himself, actually more importantly. But this is a great example of somebody who had been in the wrong side of a position, didn't honor his own stop for whatever reason. The market moved up and really put a big move in. And now it's back down at where he could have gotten out at a break even, and it's going to be very tempting for him next time to A, not honor his stop, because later they tend to come back and let you out at a break even. And if he gets into a position, however he gets into it, he'll tend to not want to get out because now he hurts because he actually took a loss, a bigger loss, when he could have waited and it would have done this. But that's not real trading. That has nothing to do with real trading. Real trading has to do with understanding the part of the market that you're in and trading that part of the market. Maybe later when he's more sophisticated and he wants to, you know, he takes the new indication, you know, and even adds to the position, that's aggressive trading, and maybe that's fine. That would be something he wants to do. But this is a good example of how the market kind of teaches you how to do really bad trading so that you'll lose all of your money eventually by waiting for the break even, waiting for the stuff. If you're wrong, just be wrong. Don't wait for the break even, because by waiting for the break even, you're going to be the guy that got short. Let's take the S&P as an example. You know, let's go back a few. You know, you're going to be the guy that went short at 1155, and we're 110 points higher, and you're still waiting for your break even. That's ultimately what's going to happen. It's a fact. It will happen, and then your account will get blown out, or maybe you even added to it, thinking it was going to come down. It's just not a good idea. So this market that we're talking about, the euro, gave this guy a really nice proof that he should have held on to his losing position. And he shouldn't have. He didn't, because of my suggestion. And it's much better for him to pay the money and take the hit and now be open to new opportunities in the market, whether they're short or on the long side, rather than congratulating himself for having held on until he got his break even. So I went through years of doing that. So, I mean, I'm really speaking from very, very involved experience in trading for break-evens when you're wrong and, you know, putting new positions on, all this stuff, and just, you know, hacked my account. I mean, seriously, if somebody would write me a check for all the losses that I had just doing that one thing, holding on for losing positions to turn into break-evens, it would be like winning a lottery. If somebody would just hand me a check for that. And I'm, you know, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but, you know, I know what I was doing on that level. And in the end, it just never worked. And it just hacked me to pieces. And I've seen it hack others to pieces. You have to be really skilled to know to do certain things and take aggressive, extra aggressive positions at certain times. Don't count yourself in that group until you can trade ordinarily and make money ordinarily without having to reach for the outer limits of aggressive behavior in order to make your trade work. If that's the way you trade, so that everything has to be at the outer limits, the edges, then I don't consider you really good at what you're doing, because you should be able to trade ordinarily and make money without having to go to the outer limits and, you know, see the face of Satan in the mirror, you know, in order for you to make money. You follow? So
I follow.
Yeah. I mean, anybody. I did not just Absolutely. You. I know you understand.
No, here's a great example right here in front of us on this Euro chart. This is an hourly chart. Includes the Globex. And our tweet last night, to be short at 140.75, that's the middle of the move. We didn't catch the top. Okay, this thing went flat.
Beautiful.
I mean, and look where it is now. I mean, that was just, that was really nice and gratifying. And, well, no, because about here I was tweeting to people, hey, you know, run for the hills, cover, lock in your profits, you know, at least move up your stops. And so that's fine. If they moved up their stop and got taken out, they got taken out. But I was just trying to, and I always do, is I always try to be extremely cautious.
Yeah, no, we do. And that costs money. And yet, at the same time, you can still do decently well being cautious, because I'm a cautious trader as well. And I've learned to be that way. And I've paid the price for not being that way. And I also pay the price for being that way. Either way, you pay a price.
Right.
It's one of them is a lot less expensive than the other. Guess which one that is. So
you're saying there's no free lunch?
There really isn't. The market is just an extremely fair employer. It pays you exactly what you're worth.
But there is a half-price lunch.
There is a half-price lunch. And once in a while, because it is fair, it also once in a while just gives you a literal giveaway. It just sets something up that's just so perfect and so right and just does exactly what it's supposed to do. And you have to be there. Sometimes that happens right after you might have taken a loss or had a period where you struggled, and they just hand it to you. You have to be alert for that. And that's one of the things the market really does well, is it'll show you a certain period of time, and then right after that it gives you two or three or one or two really just perfect trades. And you have to be willing and ready to get in that and trade, in spite of the fact that you're not in the mood anymore, because you may have, like this fellow who had the, really nice guy, had this particular trade and got stuck in it. And I've said on the program before, I don't care if there's a daily top or a big bottom or anything else, I tell people to get out, because I'm not going to be part of training you to do the absolute worst thing that you can do in trading, which is that when you're wrong, you just pretend like you're not and wait for it to come back for a break even. That's junior high, and it pays like junior high school wages. You know, it doesn't pay at all, actually. So
I was actually referring to this little girl that came by our house the other day. She was selling these coupon books to Subway. For $10, you get $100 worth of 2-for-1 coupons to Subway. So that's when I referred to the half-price lunch. That's what I was.
That's pretty good. For $10, you get $100. That's pretty good.
It is.
It's a lot of Subway.
Yeah. I mean, you go in, you order 1 foot long, you get a foot long free. You go and order a 6-inch, you get a 6-inch free. Yeah, I mean, it's... The only problem is I got to start eating a lot of Subways because it expires December 31st.
Oh, you have to put it all in.
Yeah, me and the family, we'd be heading down to Subway here at least probably twice a week. We can use them all up by the end of the year. So.
Oh, that's good, Dwayne. That's a good purchase. Let's see if there's anything else.
And you know what, guys? As when it comes to healthy eating, Subway's not a bad option. I mean, if you make the correct choice, you can go in there. Not everybody's Jared. I mean, you can actually eat at Subway and get fat if you want. But if you go in there and make the right choices with your bread and with your meats and with, if you slop on, if you go, could I get a little mayo on that? A little more.
Just a little more around the edges there, just like right there. Okay. And a little on the top of the bread, actually, where I would be holding it. Just rest them right there.
Yeah, when she has to go back for another squeeze thing of mayonnaise, you know you've probably got a little too much mayonnaise on that thing by now. They're sponsors of The Biggest Loser, and they shamelessly plug Subway on the show, and they take the people to eat there. But it got me eating there for long, and I dropped quite a bit of weight. And I'm not saying it's just because I was going to Subway, but that was a part of it, because I was making a conscious decision to go have my lunch there as opposed to any one of, other places that I could have gone. And what's crazy is a lot of the stuff you eat, you think, I'm going to eat this salad here because it's healthy, but you can eat a salad that's got like 5,000 calories in it. If you're not really aware of what's in that thing.
Right. I'm eating good. I'll tell you what. You know, you're just packing it in. Have you ever stood in line at Subway of the listeners and you see a guy in front of you and they're ordering the world's largest sandwich? You can't even imagine somebody, one man gutting this down. And no, I'll take the double meat on that. Okay, and the double cheese, please. You can double that. Double this. The thing is, 14 inches tall, whatever. People inhale that stuff. And so, yeah, you're not losing weight at that level. Anyway, so as we're talking, the market is attempting now to finish up this move, which we did send out as a roadmap in our on Messenger Pro. And so if we get, up to the 68 or a little higher level, that will complete. We've gotten to 66.75, but this would have been, this is the second leg. You know, the initial leg happened, they had the pullback, and now we're on the second leg up here. We'll see if they can get it done. Like I said before, even though we bought it, I'm hesitant to stay for that second leg only because this is against a one-week late top. In this case, it would have been fine. You would have done good by hanging on, but not in every case. So we'll wait for the next setup. This week we have a number, because of the weekly top, we will have a number of hourly roadmaps. So there will be some good trades similar to this, and we'll mention them on the program, Duane. We'll put them out for you, and hopefully people can make some money off of them.
I'm curious.
They'll be relatively, they may be small or large, but they're definitely tradable.
I'm curious, what? Tonight, will you be handing out like Snickers bars or healthy snacks?
I'm going to be handing out pieces of paper that says candy, just written on it. Something like that, just to not spread the poison around. I think we bought the little miniature Snickers bars and some other little M&Ms, which, of course, everybody loves. But I told you before, and I think it's wise, especially as you get older, because, everybody doesn't, when you turn on your TV, we talked about this, how many commercials do you see a day about diabetic meters? That's mm-hmm. because people's pancreas stops working. And the reason it stops working, possibly, is not a number of factors, but there's an awful lot more of these people out there than there ever have been that I'm aware of. And so many different companies selling the meters and selling their shipping for diabetic supplies and this and the other stuff. And there's quite a bit of evidence. I told you about 30 years ago when I was in, or more than that, when I was in high school, or junior high, actually, more like 40 years ago, there was a man in school that was telling us how bad corn syrup was back then, and now they have high fructose corn syrup. Now they have, whatever it is. That's the stuff that instantly satisfies your sweet tooth but really spikes your insulin levels. And you can ask a doctor about that. That stuff is not good for you. And if you are borderline diabetic or if you are not exercising, that type of eating is not going to serve you well. So,
and here's what really makes this whole eating thing, I mean, for me, I just know that when I eat properly or what I know to be good for me. Now, some mm-hmm. will say, well, that's just because you believe that is why it's true. I feel better. I mean, when I began to eat the right things, I lost weight and I felt better. Okay. Now, is that all in my head or is it on the scale? I don't know. But Steve Jobs, since you bring him up, he was a fruitarian for a long time, at least mm-hmm. up until 82. I don't know what happened after that. We also know what happened to him over the last decade. Now, I even quoted him in an email this weekend and on the blog. He's got a lot of quotes that you haven't heard before. One is that he said, "I'm a fruitarian. I only eat things that have leaves and are picked by virgins in the moonlight."
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of joking, but kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
He ate nothing but fruit for a while and wouldn't take a bath. Not a spoiler, mm-hmm. just a teaser. Go download the book.
All right.
Now, I'm just saying, here's somebody who was fastidious, at least for a period in their life, about eating healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Being conscious about a guy, some of you know who he is, Matt Chandler, pastor of the Village Church, huge church down in Flower Mound, Denton, Texas. this guy, he was a granola guy and a runner and all of this stuff. And this Thanksgiving, like 2 years ago, he woke up with, I can't even say it, melamiglioma. That's not even the right word. Those of you who know him know what I'm talking about. This guy has, nobody recovers from that. I mean, literally nobody. But this guy has, it's miraculous. He's preached his way through the whole thing. And just been such a source of encouragement to tens of thousands of people who suffer from all kinds of illness. And not because he talks about his illness all the time, because he just, you know, went on with life. So at some point you look at a guy like Steve Jobs or Matt Chan, you go, hey, these guys did the right thing. Steve, I don't really know about, but Matt, I do know about. He ate the right diet. He got the right exercise. He still got sick. And we all know that person who ate like a pig, drank like a fish, smoked like a chimney, and they lived to be 139. How does that happen? I don't know. All I can do is just say that I know that if today for lunch I go out and eat some greasy thing somewhere, I'm going to feel horrible this afternoon. And if I go to Subway and order a smart sandwich or a salad, that I'm going to feel pretty good, and I'm going to have a little bit of energy, and I'm going to want to probably, you know, do something. So whether there's this long-term benefit or not, and I believe that there is, okay, but I'm positive that there's a short-term benefit. Because now, if I go eat a greasy cheeseburger, do I have like 10 minutes of pleasure as it's slipping and sliding its way down? Yeah, maybe. Okay. But then, you know, the rumble sets in and then you're just it just sucks the life out of you. So, I don't know. I'm a proponent of healthy eating. Mm-hmm. And I think you are too, David. To a degree, I don't think you're
I'm a proponent of healthy trading.
You're not a nut about it like I am, but
No. I'm not, I don't know that you're a nut. I'm not a nut about it. I just try to, you know, I just try to eat relatively clean, that's all. And there you go. Okay, so back to
the one time I had lunch with you, would you guys, you split a salad? Is that, the, I mean,
I don't know
this,
what
this guy doesn't even eat a whole salad. He ate a half a salad. I'm like, what?
Well, part of your health is not overeating. So even if you are, you know, if you eat too much of anything,
yeah,
well, you know, overeating is not good for you too. One of the biggest things your body does, one of the biggest and most hardest processes your body has, is the act of digestion. That's a very, very involved, very big process. You may not feel it going on, but it takes an enormous amount of energy to digest food. So,
and that's why you shouldn't eat late at night, because you won't get a good night's sleep, because your body's, you know, the little Oompa Loompas are down there trying to digest the food. Mark says, my great-grandmother, and Mark, could you make such good comments? I actually believe you when you say this. I don't think you're just being funny. Maybe you are. My great-grandmother was a diabetic and smoked cigars until she was 106.
Wow.
Now, he did type in grandmother. She's a diabetic and smoked cigars, lived to be 106.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you are. Let's light up.
Mark says that it is true. And never took insulin.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. Sounds like you need to go, and I need to go.
Well, I think we've covered, I mean, it's very quiet today, but they are attempting to do the roadmap right now off of the third hour bottom. And actually, we made a slightly lower low in the fourth hour, but they closed above it. And I think the move is, you know, this, we might as well consider from 58 up to 68. And they quite not made 68. They've been 67.25. Very quiet, but that's essentially the move that they would normally make off of the today's third hour bottom.
Will you then be looking to sell 68?
If possibly, I'm going to give it a little bit more time before I jump in on this. But yeah, okay. they're for people who, again, no reflected wave. They can see what they did. They did exactly what they're supposed to do once they move through. The earlier high we made at 1264 that had originally got us out, we got out on a reflected wave top. The breakthrough of that top indicates the market would go to the next reflected wave and, you know, and certain other things. And so people who have been in the course know about that, and they're doing that right now. So this would be the next potential selling territory. And then that ties in with the roadmap as well, saying that there's a certain amount of movement that we would require on the upside, the ordinary amount of movement that we would see. So, by the way, we have, you know, we have this seminar coming up on November 12th and 13th for Reflected Wave at the Mirage Hotel. I'm really excited about showing this because I have, I've got newer and a little bit more later stuff, and anybody who's taken the course can call me and we can talk about that, but that I'm going to be showing there, and I'm just excited about it coming up. So,
are you having a seminar prior to that? I mean, a webinar prior to that?
We've already done all of the webinars, okay. So we're through with the webinars for it. We basically sold out, but, you know, at this point, it's in fact, it's only, what, 2 weeks away. So we're basically just waiting for it and preparing for it at this point. So
okay.
So we're good to go.
Alan
and,
asked me to please ask you if you got anything on crude.
Let's take a look. He's been asking about crude, and I did say I was going to do something.
You did?
This weekend on crude. If you give me a minute here, I wouldn't mind if Alan would call me, actually, and in that way I could give him a little bit more detailed information about a setup in crude right now. I know it would, it involves some other things that he knows that I would, you know, if he want, if this is the Alan, I think it is. So if you don't mind, Alan, would you mind giving us a call? And I'll be very happy to talk. You can call us toll free, 888-231-4702. And I'll
even if
you...
you're the wrong Alan, call him anyway and go.
Yeah, call me anyway and just go, say I'm the right
and,
Alan.
And go boo.
Yeah, be the right Alan or be the wrong Alan for Halloween. I told you a terrible thing I did when I was younger. Those, you know, I just want to mention this goes to show. What's that?
Oh, Patrick's got one for you.
Okay.
David, you mentioned a couple weeks back that if someone had a turning point forecaster better than Reflected Wave,
you would
look at buying the system.
Yes, I would.
Patrick would like to know what better is based on.
It means that any system that can forecast in advance that it's going to be specifically a top or a bottom, A, B, that can better the accuracy over time, better than plus or minus 1 unit of time, and can consistently do that. I'll buy that. Because, and obviously the reason I will is because that's what Reflected Wave can do, and I have not been able to improve on that. But I am interested and extremely interested in, you know, bettering that. One of the things about, you know, research and looking at things and thinking about things is it takes quite a bit of time and energy to do that. And I have the interest, but I don't always have the time to spend doing that. So if somebody were to demonstrate for me something that betters what Reflected Wave can do, and up to this point, I've read everything in English that has been published that I'm aware of in the last 100 years with regarding turning points, everything that I could get my hands on, and none of it betters this by even any stretch.
So what you're saying is you would not begrudgingly buy it, you would joyfully...
No, I would buy it happily.
Okay.
Yeah, I would buy it happily and pay well for it because... not to turn around and sell it or license it, because I certainly didn't do that with Reflected Wave for the last 17 years, but simply to improve my trading. I mean, I would be very interested in that. So I've said that since the beginning. So, yeah, I'm just as much a person who is interested in purchasing something where I can put it right to work as are people who have come to me for Reflected Wave. As I can see it right now, there's nothing better than Reflected Wave, and Reflected Wave is way ahead of anything else out there that I'm aware of. And I'm aware, unless, you know, the stuff that's been published is what I'm aware of. Nothing comes close to it. If somebody can improve upon that, I'll pay well for that.
Okay,
so,
Patrick, there's your answer.
Yeah.
All right.
If Patrick means he may have something, I'm letting you know I'm interested.
Okay. Very good. All right, David.
So, All right, Dwayne. Well, listen.
As opposed to your normal outro music today, I'm going to send you packing with a little Janis Joplin, if that's okay with
okay.
you.
Oh, of course. Is that okay well, let's do that for Halloween.
All right. David, thanks so much for everything.
My pleasure. Thanks for everything, everyone, and I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. They rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time. I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy now when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
Guys, that's my cue to get up and get on out of here as well. To all the CFRN partners, you know that for us, that 68 area is important as well for a completely different reason than it's important for David, but important nonetheless. Okay, we are potentially probing the depths of the weekly range. We don't know for sure yet, but we're looking at it. I also know that I'm really comfortable being short below 1264. So, however you put that into your calculus, go ahead and do that. I'm very comfortable being short below 1264. Okay? Alright. If you're not a partner, well, the first step is to go to cfrn.net/apply. That's where you begin the journey. That's where you take the free trial. That's where you see our indicators in action, watch us trade live in real time, etc., etc. Now, if you would like to take the free trial and have a chance to win an iPad 2, then you need to point your browser to cfrn.net/iPad. That's the letter I, not E-Y-E. Okay? iPad. You get it. cfrn.net/iPad. Point your browser there. You can sign up, take the free trial, you can invite a friend, and when your friend takes the free trial, you both get an entry in the drawing. Now, what if you've already taken your free trial? What if you're already a partner? Not a problem. Send a friend over to take the free trial, they'll get an entry in the drawing, and you'll get an entry in the drawing. So everybody listening to this radio program today has an opportunity to win a brand new iPad 2. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.